Okay, it is time. Get your Bibles and go to the book of Exodus. And we're going to be studying from the book of Exodus a little bit tonight. This is Soldiers of Christ, which is what we do on Sunday nights. And if you have not been here, we have field manuals that most of our members have. We have little sample kits of our field manuals that if you're a guest here tonight and don't know what we're talking about, you don't have a prophet, priest, and king card or that kind of thing. Josiah Blackmer has volunteered graciously tonight with a big grin on his face to bring you a copy. There's only about 9 or 10 copies here, so if you don't have one, just raise your hand. Josiah will bring it to you so you can see it and follow along and see what we're talking about when we talk about these Soldiers of Christ materials. If you're a member here or even if you're a guest, we've got binders, field manuals that we put these into. And we're happy for you to have one. We just asked for about $5 to help cover our costs. We're not making any money. It costs a little bit more than that to actually get the binders that we use. But if you'd like to have one, just let me know afterwards and we'll get you hooked up. We are going to be getting those printed and bound like a spiral binding so that they can be made available a little easier. Those will be printed this coming week on an off-site press. Take a couple weeks for those to get done and to get here. They're going to cost a little bit more because it's a full-color print on a spiral binding, but those may be helpful if you've got family members or some other people you'd like to get this material to. We just can't print enough to do that and to keep all of those filled, but we'll have those in a couple weeks. So, Soldiers of Christ is based upon the best book in the world. What's the best book in the world? Bible. You all are learning. You've done very well in learning that truth right there. A couple weeks ago, there were only about 11 of you who knew that, and so I'm very impressed that we are figuring that out. So we're talking about the best book in the world, which is the Bible, and we're talking about how can we take the Bible and write it on our hearts, get into the Bible and learn some things about the Bible that can make us better students of God's Word and make us better followers of what God wants us to do. So what we're trying to do on Sunday nights is just get into the Bible. We're going to be in the book of Exodus tonight. So have your field manual and have your Bible open. We're going to get to Exodus chapter 16 in just a minute. But at the beginning of the book of Exodus, where are God's people? What country are God's people in? Egypt. Was that a good situation or a bad situation? I mean, who's been to Egypt before? June, raise your hand. Who's been to Egypt before? Only June. June and Levi. June and Levi are the only ones who've ever been. Levi, awesome job, man. I don't know when you went, but I'm glad. So June and Levi are the only ones who have ever been to Egypt. So were the Israelites there? Was it like a vacation resort? Is that where they were going? I mean, they're just hanging out and enjoying themselves, right? Wrong. Not happening. All right? They're slaves down in the land of Egypt. How long were they there, by the way? How many years were they there? 430 years. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 and 41. To the selfsame day, they were there 430 years. That's a long time. That's not a vacation. That's a long time for them to have gone down there as a favored people of Joseph's family, and then all of a sudden to end up being slaves. Not a good deal. So, did God have a plan? Did God have a plan to get them out? Nice try. God had a plan to get them out. How was God going to convince this mean old Pharaoh that we heard about tonight? How was God going to convince Pharaoh to let him go? Plagues? How many plagues did God send? 10. 10 plagues. Were these bad things? I mean, are there any of them that you could say, oh, I could deal with that one? No. None of them. Not a thing. Can you help me with the plagues? What was the first plague? Okay, I'll give you a hint. It was when the water was turned to the blood. All right, so what was the first plague? Water to blood. Good job. So second plague, frogs. Third plague, lice. Is this getting worse or is this getting better? Fourth plague, flies. Oof. All right, getting worse or getting better? Fifth plague, death of the cattle. Death of the livestock. They became vegetarians really quick. Not cool. By the way, the fifth one on that list is the same thing as the fifth one over on the other list. If you have 5 and 5, you got death as number 5 on this list. You got death as number 5 on the second list, don't you? What was the 6th plague? You got the death of cattle over here. What's the 6th plague? Boils. 7th? Hail. 8th? Locusts. Somebody says, oh, locusts, they're cute. They're not so bad. Wrong. Read the book of Joel. Bad stuff. All right. 9th plague. Darkness. Somebody says, oh, that's okay. 10th plague? Death of the firstborn. Now, what part of Egypt did not suffer from these plagues? Land of Goshen. There's the vacation resort in the land of Goshen. Why didn't Goshen suffer any of these things? That's where God's people were. God's protecting them. Did God have a way to protect them from the death of the firstborn? Absolutely did. They took blood and they covered their doorpost and their lintels with that blood. And God, was it the death angel that passed over? No, the Bible doesn't say that. Please don't say that. The Lord passed over God, his people, when they put the blood there, but the firstborn of all of Egypt died. What'd Pharaoh finally say? Get out of here. We're done. You all take off. And so after all of these plagues, after 430 years, here's what I want you to imagine tonight. I want you to imagine you're an Israelite. You were in Goshen. Was your water turned to blood? Did you have frogs? I mean, you go down the list. You were in Goshen. You know what's happening everywhere else, and it didn't happen to you. What would you think about that? Would that make you happy? Would that make you feel good? Like, wow, I'm on the right side of this deal. So you see these plagues come upon the Egyptians. You see the Lord spare your family when he passes over. Are you convinced that there is a God? You convinced? Are you convinced that God is on your side? Yeah. Are you ready to do whatever that God wants you to do? Does God have now God's done all of these plagues. Does he have a plan to get these people out of there? So who's the leader? Who comes and leads them out? What's his name? Moses. Comes and leads them out of Egypt. And so he leads them out. And what is there that guides them in the day? And what is there that guides them in the night? What guides them in the day? Pillar of a cloud. What guides them at night? Pillar of fire. Because if you're at the back of the pack, can you see Moses? If you're in the middle of the pack, can you see Moses? Are you sure you want to follow the guy that's in front of you? Who's following the guy that's in front of him? I want to make sure I'm going in the right direction. God says, hello, look over here. Pillar of fire, you're going in the right direction. You go over here. And so they get to this great body of water called the Red Sea. Is that going to be a problem? Is that going to be a problem for God? What does God do to the Red Sea? Rolls it back. Now, what did Moses do in order for that to happen? Was Moses' rod involved? That's key to our lesson tonight. Was Moses' rod involved in the parting of the Red Sea? That's rod. What's the deal with this rod? It's that rod that throws down and it becomes a snake. You pick it back up and it becomes a rod. What's the deal with this rod? It is a symbol of the authority that God had given to Moses, and so God parts that water. How wide does that water have to be for all of these people to get over in one night? There are 2 or 3 million Israelites. That's a lot of people. And they've got to cross over the Red Sea. Now, I want you to imagine, again, I want you to imagine you're an Israelite. You just saw all those plagues and you were spared. You just got to the Red Sea and God said, phew, you walk over, not on mushy ground. Can you imagine? I mean, some of you have ankle problems, knee problems. Can you imagine walking over on mushy ground? Not mushy ground, dry ground. They walk over. What are you thinking about God right now? Is there a God? Is he on your side? Aren't you glad he's on your side? And so they get to the other side of the Red Sea. And what does God do to the water in order to take care of the Egyptians? Closes it back up. The Egyptians missed their swimming lessons when they were children. And they didn't survive that. So in Exodus chapter 15, what did God's people do after he saved them? They sang a song. Wouldn't you sing a song? They sang a song about how great their God is. They believed in God. God's on our side. Our God is a great God. That's in Exodus chapter 15. You get to Exodus chapter 16. And all of a sudden, what are God's people doing? Complaining. These are the biggest bunch of babies that you read about in the whole Bible. These are the complainites. That's all they know how to do is complain. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about being... Anybody ever been on a road trip? You ever been on a road trip? All right, yeah. Here's Taylor raising her hand. Yeah, my parents drive me across the country and then they drive me back. My parents drive me across the country and then they drive me back. All right, so road trips, are they fun? Taylor, good answer. Yes. All right. So they're on a road trip. All right. They're on a road trip of some 300 or 400 miles, depending on how you measure all of the, and how many times they went back and forth and zigzag. 300 or 400 miles. Takes them somewhere around 45 days for 2 or 3 million people. Palm Beach County has what? 1.4, maybe 1.5. I haven't seen the latest count. 1.4, 1.5 million people in the county. And Moses is leading more than Palm Beach County. He's got 2 or 3 million. How would you like to have been Moses? How would you have liked to have been Moses leading this road trip? I've planned a lot of road trips. I've planned a lot of mission trips. Do you think Moses tried to figure out if everybody had their passport before they left Egypt? Did you get your passport? You got to tuck it away. You don't want somebody to steal your passport because if you get over there, you can't. I mean, did he have to figure out all of those kind of logistics? I mean, did he have to make any reservations along the way, call up, hey, yeah, I've got a party of 2 million, we need a place to stay on the way home? I mean, how are you going to figure that out? I want you to imagine being Moses, and he's leading this road trip. Ever been on a road trip, and somebody says, I got to go to the bathroom? What if you had 2 or 3 million people on this road trip? And all of a sudden, we just stopped. Isn't that the way it works? You're on a road trip. You stop for the bathroom. All right, everybody go. And then you get back in the car. And what happens 4 minutes later? Gotta go again. Can you imagine 2 or 3 million? No wonder when we get to Numbers chapter 20 and God tells Moses to speak to the rock. He's like, I'm not speaking to this rock. These people are driving me nuts. Every 2 seconds, can you imagine? I got to go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. You know, he's touching me. Tell him to get on his side of the caravan. I mean, he's got to be going bonkers. They're on this road trip. They're making their way down to Mount Sinai. And you get to Exodus chapter 16. And what are they complaining about in Exodus chapter 16? They're hungry. Moses, I'm hungry. Well, we stopped at the last stop. You should have got something at the 7-Eleven. Why didn't you pick something? I'm hungry. They're complaining. And what are they? You know how bad they are? They said, it would have been better for us to have stayed in Egypt. We had plenty to eat there than to come out here for God to kill us. Hello? Did they forget about the water to blood and the frogs and the lice and the flies? Did they forget about the Red Sea? All of a sudden, there is a God and he's on our side. All of a sudden, they've forgotten that. And so what did God give them? This is on your prophet card. The food that was rained from heaven for them to eat was what? Manna. Can you think about God gave them something to eat? God took care of them and he gave them food. Did he give them food every morning to eat? Oh, Amy's been studying the Bible. So God only fed them for 6 days, right? Careful how you answer that one. He only fed them for 6 days, so they didn't have anything to eat on the seventh day. Is that right? That's not right. So God gave them manna. Now, how much, when they went out to pick up the manna on day one, day two, days, how much of the manna were they supposed to pick up? How much were they supposed to leave? I'll ask you that. How much were they supposed to leave out there? Oh, you don't leave anything out there. Why not? Because they're starving children in China. We don't leave food out there when we've got people here who need food to eat, right? Well, I don't think that's what Moses told them. But when they left food out there, worms came. That's nice. And it stank. Don't leave. Lesson. Don't leave food out on the table. Don't leave food out next to the couch. All right? Put it in the garbage. So, but on the sixth day, what did God do? Gave them twice as much. He took care of the seventh day. And so they had twice as much. Now, we're trying to connect what we're going through here. We're trying to get through this in a pace that we can get to the New Testament study. Does the manna have anything to do with the New Testament? Does it have anything to do with Jesus in the New Testament? John chapter 6. The Jews come to Jesus and they test him. They want a sign in John chapter 6. They said, you know, God fed the Jews. He fed the Israelites in the wilderness with manna. In other words, what are you going to do? And Jesus said to them, God didn't feed you in the wilderness. That was back then. God didn't feed you with manna in the wilderness, but God has sent the true bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. Jesus takes Exodus chapter 16, brings it over in the New Testament, and says, you want something better than manna? You want something better than physical bread being brought down from heaven? Here it is, the bread of life. And he says, you better take me. And just as they took that manna and ate of it, you better take me and follow me and eat of my word, because that's the only way you're going to have eternal life. And so in Exodus chapter 16, how's the question? It's on your priest card. On your priest card, collected as a reminder of God feeding. What did they collect as a reminder of God feeding them? Remember what they collected? A pot of manna. Wouldn't you? I mean, we have souvenir shops, right? On these road trips you've been on, you ever stopped and gotten a souvenir? They had a pot of manna as a reminder. God fed. Now, how long did God keep that up? For a couple weeks? I mean, after a couple weeks, he was like, all right, you all go feed yourselves. How long did he keep it up? 40 years. That's a long time. Until they got into the promised land, God kept feeding them. Now, what did they do with that pot of manna? Where did they store it? They stored it in somebody's hope chest? Is that where they put it? Where did they put that pot of manna? Ark of the Covenant. Now, they had to build the Ark of the Covenant, and that's what we're going to talk about maybe next week if we get far enough tonight. They had to build the Ark of the Covenant in order to put it, but that's where they put the Ark of the pot of manna, as they put in the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to talk about something else that they put in there. Okay, so we get to chapter 17. And you get to chapter 17, and guess what the complainites are doing again? They're doing what they do best. They're complaining. In chapter 16, oh, I'm hungry. I don't have anything to eat. Chapter 17, I don't have anything to drink. Bunch of babies. They want something to drink. So, does God take care of the situation? On your priest card, the source of water when Israel complained. The rock. Now, how did the water get out of the rock? What did Moses strike the rock with? His rod. I'm glad we've got a rod here that we can talk about Moses' rod. He took that rod and he struck. So this is a pretty powerful rod. That's a pretty powerful rod back there. Sophie could attest to that. Moses had a powerful rod and he strikes. Now, I want you to get this picture. Did you color those pictures in Sunday school? I did. I colored those pictures in Sunday school where it had the nice side of a mountain and it had this little stream coming out of that was like this big. It was just a little baby gush of water coming out of this rock. Let me ask you a question. How many Israelites are there? 2 or 3 million. Is one of those little water fountains, or maybe 2 or 3 of those little water fountains out in the lobby, is that going to take care of 2 or 3 million people? Ain't happening. That water had to come gushing, flowing out of that mountainside for them to have something to drink. So all of their complaining is over with right now. Yeah, I mean, they've been able to eat, they've been able to drink, so no more complaining out of these people, right? Wrong. They are the complainites. They are the worst bunch of babies coming out of the land of Egypt after they saw all God did for them. So Exodus chapter 17, they're in this little area of Rephidim. That's the place where they are. And this group called the Amalekites comes down to do battle against them. The Amalekites come down to do battle against them. You think God's going to take care of his people? You think God's going to let the Amalekites come and beat up on them? So they go to battle, and here's the first time somebody's name is found in the Bible. It's on your priest card. Led Israel in first battle with the Amalekites. Who led them? Joshua. That's the first time you read his name in the Bible, is when he is the military leader taking the Israelites into battle against the Amalekites. Now, what was it that helped them to win the battle? So whenever Moses held his hands up, they were winning the battle. But whenever Moses' hands came down, what started happening? They started losing the battle. By the way, hey Rod, by the way, what was in Moses' hand when he was holding it up? His rod. It wasn't just his hands. It was that he had the rod in his hand. And every time he held them up, they were victorious. Every time they came down, they started losing. So what would you do? Would you help a guy out? Help a brother out already, right? So what did... Oh, no, so there's a question. It's on your prophet card. Held up Moses' hands to win the battle. Who did that? Aaron and Hur. Or as Dan used to say, him and her. So you've got him and her. You've got Aaron and Hur, H-U-R. We don't know who that is. Josephus, by the way, thought it was Miriam's husband. We don't know. That's just a historian who thought maybe it was Miriam's husband. So here comes Aaron, and maybe his brother-in-law, but here comes Aaron and Hur. They sit Moses down on a rock, and they stand there and hold his arms up so that they can win the battle. That's a pretty cool story. How did they beat the Amalekites? Was it because of somebody's hands and rod being held up in the air? The same thing that beat the Amalekites is the same thing that parted that water. Not the rod, the God behind the rod. And so you follow these people along. You follow this road trip along. And in chapter 19, they finally get to Mount Sinai. It took them maybe somewhere around 45-ish days or so to make this trek of maybe 300 miles or so. How would you have liked to have done that? Whew. We get spoiled, don't we? We get spoiled. How do you get from one coast to the other? Do you walk in a caravan with your family? No, you're in a nice air-conditioned vehicle. And you're in the back seat with your tunes playing while mom and dad are doing all the work up front. How'd you get here from Nashville? You were on an airplane. And you imagine 300 or 400 miles with 200 or 300 million people for 45 days. No, thank you. They finally make it to Mount Sinai. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been at Mount Sinai? Look in your Bibles, and this is on your king card, by the way, but look in your Bibles real quick in Exodus chapter 19. They get to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19, and God tells them, you don't need to let anybody come near to this mountain. In verse 12, you need to set boundaries around this mountain. Don't let anybody come near this mountain. But what's going to happen? Look in verse 16. Came to pass on the third day in the morning. By the way, they had to prepare themselves for that third day. Verse 10 says they had to consecrate themselves for 2 days. They had to wash their clothes. They had to get ready. No, I'll leave that detail out. You get to verse 16. Came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all of the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to do what? To meet with God. That's why they had to consecrate themselves for 2 days. They had to get ready to go and meet God. This is in verse 17 of Exodus 19. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. The reason we're reading this, I want you to imagine you're an Israelite again tonight. I want you to imagine you're standing at Mount Sinai where there's thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud and a loud trumpet playing. Look in verse 18. Mount Sinai was completely in smoke. Was it the passage that we read tonight? Did that have fire? No, it's another passage that talked. And even here in verse 19, it talks about the fire that descended upon the mountain. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. I want you to imagine, you're there. What's causing all of this to happen? Well, there's all sorts of skeptics who have tried to explain this away. You know what's causing all of this to happen. God had descended to this mountain, and now all of these things that are transpiring are to get the attention of His people. Would He have your attention? He would have my attention, my undivided attention. And so when God spoke, what did they do? What did the people do? What did the complainites do when God spoke to them? They complained. No, don't let Him talk to us. No, we can't bear this. You just go and listen. Look in Exodus chapter 20. Look in Exodus chapter 20. Verse 18, all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But don't let God speak with us lest we die. What a bunch of babies. Are you kidding me? We're here in the presence of God. No, no, no. You just tell us what you relay the message to us. Can you imagine being there at Mount Sinai and hearing the voice of God? That'd be pretty cool. To this point, they had seen the hand of God. They had witnessed the power of God. And now they hear the voice of God. And in Exodus chapter 20, we have a listing, at least in the first 16, 17 verses, we've got a listing of commandments. It's on your prophet card. Number of commandments written on stone. This one's really hard, right? Number of commandments written on stone. How many? This is not, I had five people answer that. How many commandments were written on stone? Oh, well, y'all learned quickly. 10. Do you know the 10 commandments? Could you come up with the 10 commandments? There's 10 of them, right? You could divide them in different ways. Most of the time, they're divided 4 and 6. You've got 4 commandments that have to do with my relationship with God. I've got 6 commandments that have to do with my relationship with others, with other people on this earth. Do you know what the first 4 are? Do you know what commandment has no other commandments before it? The first one. What's the first commandment that should have no other commandments before it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We hear that and we think that's so dead obvious. Who's God saying this to? A bunch of complainites. And God says, you should have no other, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, okay, God, we'll serve you. But remember what happens 14 chapters later? We'll serve you, God, but we're going to take all of our gold and we're going to throw it into a fire. And Aaron says, this came out. Looky here. We threw all of our gold in the fire and poof, what comes out? But what came out in Exodus 34? A golden calf. And Aaron said, what did Aaron say about this golden calf? Whose God did he say this was? This is your God. This is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Is that true? What's the second commandment? Thou shalt not make unto me any graven images. Hello. They broke that one right away, didn't they? Thou shalt not make no graven image. Third commandment. Has to do with your lips, mostly. What should you do about the name of God? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Jews, what was number 4? Keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 4 commandments that have to do with our relationship with God. What about the next 6 that have to do with our relationship with our fellow man? Number 5, honor your father and mother. And the rest of them have to do with that. Don't kill your parents. No. Okay, never mind. What's number 6? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Is it okay to covet anything? Read the verse. Not okay to covet anything. You've got 10 commandments that he lays out. Were these the only commandments that God gave to Israel at Mount Sinai? No, not the only ones. He gave them, some have counted, 613 commandments that God gave them at Mount Sinai. I'm glad I didn't have to count that. 613 commandments. But were they all engraved on stone? Only these 10. It's another question that's later on. But how did these commandments get engraven on stone? What was used to do that? I want you to imagine being Moses, and you just were given these 2 tablets of stone that have these commandments written on them. Boy, the last thing you would ever do is let something happen to those, right? I mean, the last thing you would ever do is let those things come out of your hands and break into pieces, right? I mean, something serious would have to happen for that to happen, right? That's a story for next week. We'll get into that next week. Moses has right there the 10 commandments written by the finger of God. True or false? I haven't asked the question yet, but that statement is true. Moses had the 10 commandments written by the finger of God. That's true. All right. Separate question. True or false? Don't answer it yet. True or false? I forgot what the question was, Novell. You messed me up. No. True or false? We are still living under and bound by the 10 commandments today. That's false. We're not. We are not bound by those 10 commandments today. And somebody says, oh, really? You mean I can kill and I can steal? No, 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 no. No. We still are not permitted to do those things under the law of God, but it's not because we're under the 10 commandments, but because we are under the new covenant. We're under the New Testament. Does the New Testament forbid us to kill, to steal, to commit adultery, to bear false witness, to covet? Does the New Covenant forbid us to do those? Yeah, I'm forbidden to do those things in the New Covenant. And so that's the covenant that I live under today. Oh, I wish we had more time to talk about that. Let me get through these questions. The place where the 10 commandments were kept. This is on your prophet card. Where did they put the 10 commandments? In the Ark of the Covenant. The first set or the second set? Second set. They put it in the Ark of the Covenant. So, 3 items were kept in the Ark of the Covenant. We learned about the first one in Exodus 16. What was it? Pot of manna. Learned about the second one just now. What was the other thing put in there? 10 commandments and then Aaron's rod that budded. 3 things that were kept inside the Ark of the Covenant that was yet to be built. How many annual Jewish feasts, the number of annual Jewish feasts that God gave to the Israelites where they had to come and they had to present themselves before God every year? How many of those did they have? I just told you. 3. 3 annual feasts. We're going to talk more about that when we get to the book of Leviticus, but that's on your prophet card. The number of annual Jewish feasts, that's part of the commandments that God had given to them. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the 10 commandments, did anybody else go up on the mountain? Moses went to the top to meet God. And to be, by the way, this is on your priest card. Let me skip down to this question. Number of days that Moses was on Mount Sinai? 40 days. How many nights? Good job. 40 days, 40 nights. He's up on that now. But was he the only one that ascended, not to the top, but ascended anywhere on the mountain? No, and this is on your priest card too. Went up with Moses on the Mount of God. Who went with him? Joshua went up with him. Went up part of the way. And then Moses went the rest of the way. Sometimes we don't realize that Joshua is mentioned back here as leading the battle against the Amalekites and here going up part of the way on Mount Sinai. Is that important? Who took Moses' place? Joshua. So we're introduced to him here, not as some insignificant character, but somebody in whom God and Moses had placed a great trust. In what chapter of the Bible do we read the Ten Commandments? Where are they first mentioned? Exodus chapter 20. If I wanted to go and read the Ten Commandments, I would need to go to Exodus chapter 20. Are we still under the Ten Commandments? We are not. Wish we had time, and we will take time as we go through this study to talk about why. The Bible is replete with information, but here's the deal. Who was at Mount Sinai? What people were there at Mount Sinai? The Israelites, the Jews. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 2, God made a covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai, at Horeb. Were you there? You weren't there. God did not make a covenant with you at Horeb. God did not make the covenant of the Ten Commandments with you at Horeb. It was made with the Jews. That was taken out of the way when Jesus was nailed to the cross, and we're under the New Testament today. We've been to Mount Sinai tonight. We have followed a road trip, so to speak, of a bunch of complainites who had to go to the bathroom and were hungry and were thirsty. Bunch of babies on this trip. No wonder they had to go and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They weren't ready to follow their God. Question is, am I? What was it that Moses had in his hand that made all the difference? That was his rod. What do you have in your hand that makes all the difference? Your Bible. Thank you all very much for being here. You are dismissed.